Amen. Father, we thank you that you have rescued us, saved us from our sins, redeemed us by your blood. And Lord, now because of that, we have heaven to gain. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. I pray as we spend a few minutes together, you'll be encouraged. We started last week, the title was Superhero Status, and the subtitle was Are You One? And so I asked the question last week, is Jesus a superhero? And the consensus was with everyone that, yeah, okay, we can go with that. But my next question did not elicit a large response. I said, well, what about you? Are you a superhero? And everyone's kind of like crickets, and they're like, how do I answer this? What do I say? What do I do? And my hope was that as we got to the end of the message last week, that you realized that you are a superhero in Jesus. And that doesn't mean you can do what you want and however you want to do it, but that you have been endowed with supernatural abilities by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, last week, if you remember, we had these four A words, and this helped you to understand your position in God, to begin to receive these gifts. And it was this, that you were adopted and accepted. That's just so important, that you are a child of God, and God loves you just the way you are, as crippled up as you are, as messed up as you might be. And all of us, in a sense, have different issues in our life still. I shouldn't put that on any of you. I still have issues in my life, all right? Now, I pray none of you have any, all right? Whatever. But the point is that all of us are dealing with things still, and it's important to know that God adopted us, that literally, no matter what we have done, that he says, that's my son. That's my daughter. And that's just so important. And then we went on and said this in another two words, that you also are not only, adopted and accepted, but you now are appointed and anointed. Think about that. Appointed and anointed. And that speaks of the calling that's on your life, and that God also has a plan for you, and that he has given you the presence of the Holy Spirit to work in your life. These are just so important. So if you missed that last week, can't encourage you enough to have a listen to that, and so that you can understand that position part. Because now we move on to our next part, and it's still superhero status. Oh, and by the way, moms out there, you are super superheroes, all right? Listen, absolutely. There is no better than moms. Listen, none of us would exist without our moms. That's the reality of it. And thank God for the superhero moms that are out there. So just God bless you. I am glad God chose you to bear children. God bless you. Just God bless you in many multiple ways. But as we look at today, here's my question to you. Are you ready to be that superhero that God has called you to be? So with that in mind, let's just begin to look at Scripture. And I want to go right back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, the first couple of verses, actually. Have a look at this with me. And this speaks of the source of our supernatural abilities. In Genesis 1, beginning in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. This is just really, really important here. You need to see that at the beginning of time, as we know it, God always existed, but when he decided to bring creation into existence, the Holy Spirit of God was there hovering. And that word hovering actually speaks of like a mother hen over chicks, literally brooding over them, being there. In other words, without the mother hen, the chicks wouldn't hatch. And in a sense here, it's because of the Spirit of God that creation happened. I like to think that all parts of the three parts of God were there. You've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I liken it this way, that God the Father thought it, God the Son Jesus said it, and God the Holy Spirit did it. And so you see all three parts at work, amen? And the same as us, we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. Very much the same. We were created in the image and likeness of God. And so that's there at the very beginning. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the fact that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And we know that the entire earth was waters, and then the land came up out of the water at some point. But the first thing that God the Father said was, "Let there be light," and there was light. And who brought that light into existence? God the Holy Spirit, right? We talked about this. God the Father thought it, the Son said it, Holy Spirit did it. And that word light, I love this word light. It not only means like illumination, like here, the room is lit up here, but it means clarity. It means morning. You think about this. When God said, "Let there be light," that was the first morning in creation. It was just darkness before that. So you could see things clearly. In other words, the Holy Spirit, when he comes into dark areas, brings what? Illumination and life and light and hope. And that's what happens. And you might say, well, okay, that was way back in Genesis 1, you know, way, way, way back. How does this apply to us now? Well, we have a New Testament scripture that connects this all together. Ephesians 5:8 says this: "You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now, listen, I looked at a dozen or more translations of this just to make sure that I was reading it right. It says this: "For you were once darkness." You know, I thought, and I used to quote this scripture for years, I used to say you were once in darkness, and now you are light of the Lord. But it doesn't say that. It says you were once darkness. Now, what's the difference? Well, when I used to quote it, when I thought it said that, when you were once in darkness, I had the idea that, hey, I'm me. It's dark, and I'm in that darkness. But that's not what that's saying. It's saying I was darkness. It's meaning that I had no life in me, that all I was sin and death in me. Dark, 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 dark. That's what I was. But now, because of Jesus, because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us, when we become born again, I am now light in the Lord. It doesn't say even a light. But I am light in the Lord. So in other words, there's a miracle that happens down in our spirit where there was once darkness, once death, and now there's life and light. And that's from the Holy Spirit of God. And this is a foundational truth. And that's why I wanted to start here as we look at this. Because unless you believe that, unless you know that, the Holy Spirit of God will not be able to operate in you in the fullness of how and where he wants to. Can you say amen to that? You know, how many people want to be used of God? I hope I'm not the only one here today. You know, I hope all of you want to say, yeah, I want to be used. And really, that's what today is about the getting ready part to be used. And you notice, here we are in week 2. I haven't even begun to talk about the gifts of the Spirit yet. I haven't even labeled them. I haven't talked about, you know, this gift and that gift and this other gift. Let me tell you why. That's not as important as you knowing the gift giver, which is the Holy Spirit. You see, if you have the Holy Spirit, essentially you have access to all the gifts. Now, each one of us have a specialty area often where God might use us more. But let me tell you something. When you get to know him, the Holy Spirit of God, the gifts just flow out naturally. You know, so often I hear teachings about the gifts and, you know, they specify all the gifts and what they do and all that. And it's great. I have no issue with it. But they forget that it's all out of a relationship that we have with Jesus that all of this happens. And that's why I'm spending these last 2 weeks for you to be ready for God to work through you in magnificent ways. And I'm telling you, God wants to do some amazing things right here in this place and also to your spheres of influence around you. Amen? Amen. Okay, so let's begin to look at this for a minute. How can we get ready? Turn with me to John chapter 3. Jesus speaks about this. It's very interesting. Here's John chapter 3, the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And you got a guy by the name of Nicodemus, you know, Nick at night. You know, he comes in the night to talk to Jesus. And let's just pick up what Jesus says to him. So John 3, verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. No one can do these things that you do unless God is with him.'" So this guy, he had a revelation that Jesus was special, right? And so look at verse 3. "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.'" Now, here's Jesus, you know, talking about, you know, the whole born-again experience and the importance of it, and he's already talking about the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's integral to your salvation. To become born again means that you have to have the presence of God in you, because that darkness has been what? Changed to light. So let's just look at this just for a minute, these scriptures. First of all, in verse 3, Jesus said, you know, You must be born again, or you can't even see the kingdom of God. So here's the thing. For you to even have a basic, a little bit of an understanding of what the kingdom of God is about, you have to be an inside man. You know what I mean by that, right? You can't be on the outside, unsaved, and understand what the kingdom's like. It's foolishness to you. That's what the Bible says. When you're not part of the kingdom, it doesn't make sense. What do you mean, put others before yourself? What do you mean to do this and do that? You know, everything in the kingdom is upside down compared to what the world does. And until you're on the inside and experience Jesus personally, you don't get it. You know, how many people know what I'm talking about? I remember that. I'm like, I don't get this. This is stupid. This doesn't make sense. And yet there was still a hunger. And then when I became born again, all of a sudden, what I thought was upside down was actually right side up. And the world is actually upside down. But sometimes it takes a while for that change to begin to happen. And so he says, for you to even see the kingdom, you must be born again. And then he goes on and says, just a few verses later, and this is important, verse 5, he says, surely, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So now it's not just about seeing it, it's about being a part of it and experiencing it. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and the importance of Him. You see, you can be born again, yet not operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, it's not that you don't have them, it's just that you don't let them. You get what I'm saying? You don't allow them to come and flow out of you. And so that's a part of the getting ready I want to talk about. Now, just for interpretation purposes, I know that there's a lot of controversy with this particular scripture when Jesus says, look, at Nick, you must be born of water and the Spirit. There's all kinds of teachings out there. Good theologians are all over the place with this. You know, some will say, well, that water, that speaks of water baptism. So unless you're water baptized, you know, you cannot be born again. You know, water baptism and the Spirit. That could be what it's talking about. Other theologians say, well, elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about the Word of God being like water, you know, being washed by the Word. So it's the Word of God. That is what it means. Other places in Scripture, it talks about the Holy Spirit being water. But that doesn't make sense because, okay, you got to be, you know, you got to have the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit, because literally that's what it says, born again, you know, born again by the water and the Spirit. So that probably doesn't make sense. Now, can I present to you a third thing that is more plausible? How many people have heard me make the statement, context is, what's the last part of it? King. And what do I mean by that? What it means is that if you read one little line of Scripture and it makes no sense to you, read above it. Read below it, because the context bleeds the meaning of every Scripture. And so it's so important that we look at Scripture that way. And so just the line before, now again, I just want to show you this. Verse 4, so Jesus says you got to be born again. And so Nicodemus in verse 4 says, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into a mother's womb and be born? So he's talking about natural birth, right? That's the context. And so how did Jesus respond? Most assuredly, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. So what could he possibly be saying in context? Hey, Nick, yes, you have to be born naturally, because when you're born as a little baby, what surrounds you? What is it? Embryonic sac, right, which is full of mostly what? Water, right? That. So you're born naturally, born of water, and then born of the Spirit. In other words, you're born again by the presence of God entering into you. Now, he reiterates that, and I love this. Verse 6, right after that, he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So there you go. He again, it's sandwiched there. I believe the context makes it very clear that when he says being born of water, that it's talking about being naturally born. And so that's why it's said that if you're only born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you only die once. You heard that statement? Well, that's speaking of you're born naturally, then you're born of the Spirit. You only have one physical death, right? And then you go on to be with the Lord. But if you're only born once in the flesh, but then you don't accept Christ, then you die spiritually, and then you die physically. And so that's what that means. How many people know that it's better to be born twice so you only die once, right? Can you say amen to that? That's the one we want to sign up for. Amen. And so he goes on, and this is what I want to focus on with this particular scripture. Look at verse 8. He's talking about the Spirit of God. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Well, it could mean a lot of different things, but today, here's what I want to present to you. The idea that when you become born again of the Spirit, you need to begin to flow in God. You see, before we're born again, we've got a brain, right? And we got plans, we got purposes, we've got agendas. And I want to tell you this, I'm not saying for you to abandon those things. But what I am saying to you is that when you become born again and you want to be ready to be used by God, you have to become a little more flexible. You can't be a stick in the mud, all right? You want to be used by God, you can't be a stick in the mud. You got to learn to be flexible. So there's a little video clip I want to show you. It's just a few seconds long. Just have a look at this. I want you to see it because it points to what I'm trying to explain to you. Sometimes a picture's worth a thousand words. They'll get it together there and they'll make it happen. They got to push a bunch of buttons and make it all happen. It's going to happen. It's happening. There it is. Look at that. So there's a wheat field. And you see the wind blowing? Now, isn't it interesting that the wind is blowing, yet in different parts of the field, everything's kind of waving differently? Isn't that, it's kind of bizarre, because you think about it, if wind is blowing, shouldn't it all just be, you know, one direction? It doesn't do that. If you look at a large field like this, literally, it's like waves. It's the neatest thing of all. Yet it's interesting, if you look at the wheat that's close together, it's all kind of bending in the same direction and flowing in the same direction. And that literally, for me, helps me understand the presence of God. First of all, you can't see it, right? But you can see the response to it. How does this apply to you and I? Well, if you look at each wheat strand, you know, if that represents you and me, you know, we're all together in a field somewhere, you'll notice that the ones that are close together are often flowing in the same direction. So I look at prophetic words that are spoken over sometimes at our services, and someone says something, you know, in the Lord and says, I believe there's a word from the Lord. Often it lines up with the message. Often it's connected to the songs. Often there's a connectivity. Why? Because there's a flow that's going on. You know, and that's the presence of God. Doesn't mean that God's necessarily saying the exact same thing to everyone, but there is a connectiveness that when it all comes together, everyone's kind of going in the same direction. You ever notice that sometimes even like you're praying about a certain thing and then you hear a song on the radio that you know, connects to that, right? And it's like there's a flow that's going on and God just makes that happen. Well, that's part about getting ready. Are you willing to be flexible in God? This is just so important because if you're not, what will happen is you'll miss out on all the opportunities that God has for you. And so let's go on a little bit with this. How many people know what this is? What's it look like from down there? Right. Now, if you've never seen one, you might say, well, I'm not sure, you know, because you can only see part of it, right? If I just held it like this and you could only see it from a certain angle, right? Well, what if I shone a light just on the end of it? What might it look like on a wall? Or if I shine a light just on the side of it, what might it look like? So pop that picture up. I want you to see something here. So have a look at this. So this represents that cylinder in the middle with the blue end and the brown on the sides. So picture this. If I shine a light on the end of this, that blue circle would appear on the wall, right? And if I shine the light this way onto a wall, it would actually appear square or rectangle in my case. Sorry, I didn't have a square one, but it'd be a rectangle, right? Now, here's the thing. If someone was to describe, if you had some people that couldn't see this really, but could see the reflection and could only see it from the light shining this way, what would they say? That the object is what? Round, right? Now, what about the people who saw the light shining this way on it on the wall? What would they say? It's square, right? And is that true? Literally, the reflection, it's round and it's square, right? But in reality, what is it? It's a thermos. if you get, in other words, there's more to it than that. Now bring that picture up just again, just for a second. Just look at that. So here's my point to you. When the Spirit of God speaks to you and I, we only know in part. We prophesy in part. We only know a bit of it. We don't know everything. And one of the things that drives me crazy is people say, well, I have the Spirit of God. I know everything. No, you're already in trouble because pride is taking you over. You're headed for a fall because that's what the Word says. Pride cometh before a fall. The point is we know in part, we prophesy in part. And so here's the deal. No matter how smart you are, no matter how much you've grown in the Lord, we don't know 100% of all truth. We don't. And what drives me crazy is so often when people are judging other ministries or organizations or other individuals as a result of their perspective on something. Let me give you a great example. Let's talk about grace and holiness. So you have different ministries, different individuals that their focus is on the grace of God. You know, the idea that Jesus died for our sins. He's paid the entire price so that you can have freedom and forgiveness of sins and go to heaven. Does everyone agree with that? That's an awesome truth, right? All right, so let's put that to a side. And then you have another camp of people, and again, good people, right? Who talk about the holiness and the importance that, look, we need to be righteous before God. And that, as it says in James, that faith without works is dead, that the idea is that our lives should reflect the glory and goodness of God. And we need to be an example to the world. How many people say amen to that too? Right? So here's the problem, though. A lot of guys in the grace camp are throwing rocks at the righteous camp, and the guys in the righteous camp are throwing rocks at the grace camp. And so the problem with it is that they have a revelation. They've seen the reflection on the wall. They've got a certain angle. And it's true, which is great. And then you got the righteous guys. They got a different perspective. And they're right too. But the thing is, they're both right. Because the truth of it is, it's a thermos. Okay, you get what I'm saying? In other words, that both grace and righteousness are important in our lives. Now, let's extend this a little further. Let's just throw out a few other things. See, this isn't just about the Word of God. This is about politics. This is about how you raise your family. This is bigger than that. You know, we get our information, and what do we get? We get a part of the information. And I'm not saying that anyone should leave here saying, I shouldn't have a strong opinion about something. Listen, you should have a strong opinion. You should have an opinion about something because you've gathered information and you've come to a conclusion in your own mind. But where did that information come from? Podcast so-and-so, who only knows in part two? Or this other newspaper article over here, or this Facebook post that was over here, and you happen to think, that sounds good, I agree with that. And you jump on the bandwagon and go with that. You see, where the danger comes is that when we form that opinion, that when new information comes, we're unwilling or unyielded to change. And that's a problem both in the kingdom, through the Word, and also in our natural lives. Can I tell you, I know numerous families that have been destroyed, literally ripped apart, because somebody has a different political opinion than the other person in the family. Seriously? You're going to let that break your family apart because you have a different opinion? And often when you really sit down with both individuals, they have true points. You know what I mean? The one person, you know, believes that this is important. The other person says, well, this is important. They're both important, but they seem at odds with one another. But what should be important to us? The kingdom and who He is. My point is that, you know, people get all riled up during election season and then it kind of comes and goes and we move on. But meanwhile, it leaves this path of destruction and brokenness of relationships and hurts and pains and words and things that shouldn't have been said. And that ought not to be for us as believers, because we need to be going back to the truth, back to the Word of God, to the wholeness of Scripture, and as well as the wholeness in our heart. Why am I bringing this up? This is why. Have strong opinions. Believe what you believe. But when you're confronted with more truth, are you willing to be flexible and allow yourself to change? Or do you do what so many do, put their fingers in their ears and say, la, 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 I'm not changing. You know, I've been like this for 20 years. I'm this way. Let me tell you something. That's a form of rebellion. And if you want the Spirit of God to use you, you can't have that type of spirit. Here's why. Now, let me bring this down to brass tacks. If God wants to use you to minister to someone, here's what happens. You go up to that person, and maybe you know what their political affiliation is. Maybe you know what side of the road or tracks they were born on. And all of those things are factoring into your mind. And all of a sudden, you have already formed opinions. You've already formed something that you're going to say to them based upon the data you've connected. But what about when the Spirit of God says, no, this is what I want you to say to them? Has nothing to do with any of that. You get what I'm saying? Nothing at all to do with what you think. You see, if you want to be used by the Spirit of God, you have to allow His presence to flow in and through you, and you can't be biased in any way. Now, can I tell you that's hard? How many people have strong opinions? My hands are up. Come on now. Be honest. You're in church. God's looking at you. All right. And so I am not asking you to dismiss that. I'm not asking you to become a wet noodle. All right? I'm not. But what I am asking you to do is to be open to the Spirit of God, that when He says something different than what you believe, that you go back to the scriptures, that you go back to him in prayer and say, Lord, help me to discover what the whole truth is. I know something that's true here. I know something that's true over here. But what is truth? Help me to get a bigger picture of what you want to do here. This is just so important. You want to be used of God? This is like mission critical. And if not, now here's the thing. You might say, well, hold it. You know, can't God use anyone? But here's the thing. God will not allow his spirit to be manifest in you for you to go and destroy people, right? That's not what it's about. It's to bring life and hope and all these kinds of things. And if it's your opinion, which is contrary to the word, then he's not going to allow that gift to flow in and through you. Because he comes to bring what? Life, liberty, and hope. And let me tell you something. It will mess your life up. Read about Peter in Acts chapter 10. He didn't even think non-Jewish people could be saved. You know what I mean? Here's a guy that thought only the Jews can be saved. And God had to come along with three visions, you know, show him, you know, a bunch of signs and wonders for him to finally get it. And he goes, oh, I guess everyone can be saved. You get what I'm saying? So we're in good company, all right? If the original apostles had issues with this, then let me tell you something. You and I are definitely going to have some issues with this. But if you will begin to be open to the presence of God, to let him make things that you believe that are true actually become truth in your life, so you have a bigger picture of it, God can do some amazing things. Amen? Let me leave you with the last scripture for this morning. So here's the deal. We talked about, you know, catch the wind of the Spirit. You need to learn to be flexible, not a stick in the mud, right? All right? Now, here's the last one. This is so, so important. So, so important. You know, we've been talking about supernatural superhero status, right? What was the thing that could affect Superman? Does anyone know? In other words, Superman basically could do it all, right? Except there was one thing that would stop him. What was that? Kryptonite, right? For some reason, that just not only took his powers away, but literally made him like, you know, literally crippled, laying on the ground, unable to do anything. Well, let me tell you something. In your life and in mine, sin is our kryptonite. All right, so let's look at this last point. Practice a life of godliness. Sin is your kryptonite. Romans 6, beginning of verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. I love this scripture, right? You know, and so here's the deal. And I love this. Paul's saying we now have a choice. You see, when we were once just darkness, we had no choice. But now that we are light in the Lord, now that there's a central part in our lives, our spirit has been made life and light in him, then now our mind has the freedom to choose life. And not only for ourselves, then we can begin to affect other people. But the problem is that when we carry on sinning, we don't leave room for the Holy Spirit of God to work. Doesn't mean he can't work, but when we're doing our own thing, all of a sudden, that time is no longer available to the Holy Spirit. When we're spending money on things we ought not to be spending money on and doing things we ought not to be doing, that's things that could be used for what? The kingdom of God, for the Holy Spirit to be manifest in and through us. Amen? And so I encourage you to come to a place of allowing God to make you righteous and holy. Now, that doesn't save you. What saves you? Jesus and him alone. Amen? Let's stand together. Now, how many people want to be used by Jesus? Anyone here? I want to be used more and more every day. And so as I began to pray to even prepare this message, and the Lord just asked me, well, are you really ready to be used? And so that's why you're hearing about this today. You know, because as I look back on my life, my 35 years of walking with Jesus, I realized that the gifts weren't as important as my preparation. Here's why. What I'm really talking about this morning is your character. And it's your character that carries the gifts. You hear what I'm saying? Because if your character is flawed, after a while, no one's going to want to pay attention to whatever gifts you've got in your life. But if the two are bringing honor and glory to God, you can do amazing things. Father, I thank you for every person here. And Lord, right now, I thank you that you're here. And that some of us have been convicted by some of the things that I've said. And Lord, I believe it's of you. And I pray that no one here feels condemned. But rather that they would consider what I've talked about. And Lord God, bring it back to you and say, Lord, what applies to me? What do you want me to do? And that, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you just reveal it to them. And that they could walk on in a freshness of your presence, Lord God. Who here just wants more of Jesus, a fresh infilling? You know, it's scriptural. The book of Acts, they got filled and filled and filled and filled. Father, I thank you for those hands that went up all around this sanctuary. I pray, Lord, right now, this day, for a fresh filling of your presence, Lord God, that it will give us a greater boldness to do what you've called us to do. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for every single person here. And I pray, Lord God, that we would be flexible to your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you this morning.